Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It actually worked and no hiccups or problems today.
At least not yet.
Well, there's about to be some problems, but no technical ones at least. So let's come into this hot, Jack. We're here to do the Extreme Rules 2016. What year is it today?
You had me thinking it was 2016. And then I realized that was not right. I believe it's 2019.
2016 when you were touring the world with Iron Maiden, I believe it was.
Correct. Yes.
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 But those days are long gone.
I also had hair back then as well.
That is true. You're a recent bald man, aren't you?
Yeah. Within the last year. Yeah.
How was that for you transitioning from hair to no hair?
It was difficult for me because I used to always like style my hair and do different things, and then thank you. Yeah, it was a bit of a shock, but now I'm okay with it. You know, my only concern going back was like I didn't really want to. I was worried that I would look like a chemo patient because I'm quite skinny.
Right.
So you know,
has anybody ever approached you and asked you how chemo is going? Or
thankfully, no. Thankfully, no.
Okay. But I was going to say though, as we're coming in hot, Extreme Rules 2019. Thank you for that. And don't forget, you got to remind me in about 15 minutes that I got to do, got to read some ads and pay some bills. We didn't do that last time and we got scolded for not doing that. So we'll make sure to do that. I'm actually looking it up right now. But,
gotcha.
And so also speaking of getting scolded, I was given a message from a WWE higher up who told me to be nice to the WWE. And I can only think the reason for that comes from our last podcast together.
Yeah, it could well be. We weren't overly we weren't slating them really, but you know, we weren't making out that everything was amazing.
You're right. We were kind of cutting down a few people here and there, but speaking of cutting down, you know, some people are kind of jokes that we were thinking about on that roster. But speaking of jokes, before we get going here, Jack, as I read my rundown, we're doing this band, the Extreme Rules preview that WWE does not want you to hear on a Friday. Usually we do it on a Wednesday. Because it's a Friday, this might be a first for you. You get to hear the Duff McKagan joke of the week.
Brilliant.
Hey, Chris Jericho, Duff McKagan calling you from Seattle. And it's great right now. But we were on chicken tonight for dinner, but it was foul. Thank you very much.
Hey-o!
Oh! That wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was all right. One of the better ones.
Little play on words. Oh, really? Have you heard some Duff McKagan joke of the weeks before?
None that I could remember and tell you right now, but yeah.
But you have heard a few because you said that was one of the better ones, which would imply that you've listened to some of the other ones.
Yes, on occasion. On occasion. Okay.
I didn't know if you were just kind of lying for show business purposes.
Well, you'll never know.
That would actually be a pretty good like name of an album or something, or a t-shirt, lying for show business purposes.
I think actually, yeah, that could be either that or a title of a pretty good autobiography.
Or a porno.
yeah.
Speaking of which, Jack, why don't you tell them about your t-shirt designs?
Yeah, well, you know, they're, I would say is pornography for the mind. One of them says, who the F am I? And the other one says, drunkomania. You know, this very pornographic words.
Drunkomania. You thought I was gone, didn't you? Or did you?
When?
Right there.
Did I think you were gone?
Yeah.
No.
Because the last time I asked you to do something with the pro wrestling tees, I went and grabbed a vodka, and you didn't say anything about pro wrestling tees. You said that I was gone. And then you must have heard me coming back. Because you were right on cue when I actually walked back into the room.
Yeah, I'm quite good at, you know, like listening.
Gotcha. That would
sometimes.
Because of your lack of sight.
Lack of sight and yes, you know, sticky out ears.
So there you go. So we were a little bit scolded by the WWE cognoscenti for the preview for Stomping Grounds that we did last time. So we're gonna be nicer this time. At least try to be. I mean, like I said, I don't really feel that we were being overly mean last time. But
no, I don't think everything was being overly mean, and you know, we're pretty nice guys.
Let's try and be underly mean.
Sure.
That'd be a good way to do it. So, Stomping Grounds was a fun one. I think we both got about 2 out of 10 correct. So we'll do a better job this time. And also, too, I think one of the big hits from last time was the Stomping Grounds theme song that we came up with. But I can't remember what that gentleman's name was. Do you remember?
Longhorn Steakhouse or something, wasn't it? Or something like that.
I think that's exactly what it might have been. Longhorn Steakhouse with his Stomping Grounds. Oh, wait a second. You were close. J.J. Lawhorn was the name of the gentleman.
Oh.
Yeah, he was he got kind of a little bit of a buzz. Apparently, he actually reached out to us on Twitter and said, thanks for promoting the show.
Oh.
Catchy tune, eh?
Very much so.
Still waiting for you to get to the chorus.
Here we go.
So that was J.J. Longhorn Steakhouse. Stomping Grounds. What happened?
Oh, I just spilled a cup of sake all over me.
Well,
oh my god.
Did you do that on purpose? Because last time you got a leg cramp when we were on the show.
No, of course I didn't do it on purpose. I want to drink this.
Oh, we wanted to start off hot, and we did here on our Extreme Rules pay-per-view review.
Looks like I've pissed myself.
Well, see, we can't see that, so you might not even be wearing pants, as far as we know. So we got that.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Oh, that was great. So I think we should start off with the theme song, and see what a theme song should be. So the actual, let's see, what's the Stomping Grounds pay-per-view theme song is called When I'm Gone by Dirty Honey. Okay, let's see what the vibe is for this.
Okay.
Sounds like a little bit of a heavy kind of airborne type AC/DC based, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's a little bit kind of a little bit stock, if we can say that. Extreme Rules. Maybe they should use a song by Extreme. Maybe.
Yeah, no, I think that would go down better. Is there anything else that maybe sounds like that?
It's a little bit mellow for a pay-per-view theme, eh?
Maybe. Yeah, it might not be quite. It might not have the intensity.
No, you're right. I mean, it's a good tune, though. But what else we got? Ozzy Osbourne. What about Breaking All the Rules by Ozzy? Have you heard that one?
Not that I can remember.
Hold on a second. Here's what you go.
Yeah.
Extreme.
That would work.
Extreme. Does that work?
You sound like my dad when he's saying "and Tom Jones" in the Spirit of the Drum video.
My name is Chris Slade. I've worked with such bands as AC/DC, Jimmy Page, David Gilmour, Tom Jones, Elvis Presley.
He said thank you for the publicity as well.
Good. Yeah, don't forget to go to spiritofthedrum.com Spirit.com. Is that what it is?
I think it's that. Yeah, probably.
Or just Google Spirit of the Drum, Chris Slade, and you'll find some fine jewelry on there. Chris That's wears right. a pair of drumsticks around his neck at every AC/DC show that he plays, and you might be able to find a pair of those online somewhere.
Correct.
Any update on the sake spilling?
Yeah, it just looks like I've wet myself. Mm. It really does. Like I'm very, very, very undry.
Was it warm?
No, thankfully no. No, it was a cold.
Sorry.
That's it. It was a cold one.
You need a flag on the play for spilling your sake in the first minute of the show, no less.
I know.
Exactly. So, I think we should probably jump right in. You know why? And here's another difference, because usually we do this show on a Tuesday, which means that we haven't seen SmackDown yet. We're doing this on a Wednesday. So we did actually see SmackDown, or at least read about it, because I didn't watch it. I'm not sure if you watched it, Jack.
I did not. And the other thing as well is that I actually haven't read about it either. So I'm actually still as unprepared as normal.
Even better.
Yeah, so you're probably going to have to help me through that one.
I have to be honest with you. I did actually prepare by getting the Extreme Rules song by Dirty Honey. So it would be playing in the background, ready to go.
Great.
So that's Dirty Honey with the Extreme Rules song, More Than Words. The official theme for Extreme Rules is Dirty Honey. So now that we've established that, we can move on to the card. I think we should just jump right into it, I think, Jack.
Shall we?
I think we shall. I'm going here. I went to Forbes.com and got the got all the matches, and they're up here on the screen. And I'm just going to go through them in order from bottom to top. So WWE Raw Tag Team Championship is the Revival versus the Usos. Now, the Revival were one of the teams, one of the talents that asked for their release and then were given the world title shortly after.
Mm. Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one because what is that noise?
I think it's the chair that's moving. Is that okay?
Oh, it sounds like it's like an 80s like hip-hop drum intro.
That?
A little bit.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, that's what I thought it might have been. I thought you were trying to restart a song.
And hold on, I will say this, Jack. Honestly, you really do have good ears, because I wasn't joking before when I left the room and I came back and you heard the exact moment that I came back into the room. And every time something goes on, like if there's like a last time, like if I creak in the chair, you hear it. If there's a mouse in the corner, you hear that. You have a very good ears going on there.
Thank you. It's not like a 50-50 going on, because I can hear things that other people can't. And oh, there you go. There's a chair creaking again. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so I'm just moving. My chair is moving right now. Hold on. Sorry.
Yeah, you're just moving the chair. Yeah.
Jesus, it needs some real oil or something like that, man. It really does sound like a hip-hop drum break, doesn't it? Jeez Louise. Let me just reach down over here and pick up the sheet of matches. They fell on the floor. Hold on a second.
Nice one.
Okay, got it. So do you have a good set of ears, is what we were saying?
Apparently so, yeah. Even though I do have a pretty bad case of tinnitus, I can still hear.
Is that how you pronounce it? Tinnitus.
I think it's tinnitus or tinnitus. I don't think there's both are acceptable, I believe.
So, you know, I'm actually pretty happy because we hit the first ad right on time. The second one we're going to do probably in about 20 minutes or so. So keep an eye on the clock and we'll get right over to that one. But first, we got to get to the Revival versus the Usos, Jimmy and Jay Usos. Did you know they're twins, Jack?
I wasn't sure. Something gave it away, but I was, yeah.
The fact they look exactly alike, is that what it was?
Yeah. It's good that my suspicions were correct.
Have you heard them do promos lately?
Oh, yeah, lately, all the time. I'd be lying if I said I had, actually. So what do you mean? What have they been doing?
Well, they just do great promos where they kind of go back and forth, kind of a twin magic, like kind of two rappers that know each other back and forth. They're very, very good. I'm a real big fan of the promos of the Usos. Yes. Yes. So I'm actually thinking this is going to be a pretty damn good match, to be honest with you, because Revival, very good old school team. And as far as the way they work, you know, kind of cut off the ring, as they used to say. And the Usos, high-flying, very exciting, great look. So I think it's going to be a hell of a contest. And who do you think what do you think about this one as far as who may or may not win this one, Jack?
I think either team winning is well, you know, there's no wrong answer with it, I suppose, you know.
Don't forget Revival are the champions. So the Usos are challenging for the tag team championship.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it wouldn't be bad for the Revival to retain, and it wouldn't be bad for the Usos to win.
Okay. Well, do you know that who I'm going to go with?
What's that?
I'm going to go with the Revival. You know why?
Why is that?
Because Fozzy has a song called Revival. Did you know that?
Of course.
You know, it's funny. I forgot about that song. It's a killer tune.
Which album is that on?
It's from Chasing the Grail.
Oh, right, yeah.
I forgot that we had a song called Revival, literally, till I was just reading Revival here, and I was like, wait a second, that sounds familiar. So, you know, I think I'm going to have to present them with a cease and desist on that name, Gimmick Refreshment. Gimmick Refreshment.
Gimmick Refreshment, I know. Yes. Wow, that's a tough one. That's a tough one to come back from.
It is. I mean, if my Revival starts to get a little bit stale, or it gets a little behind, we just do a Gimmick Refreshment and give it to Dash and Dawson.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just the thing to do. Yeah.
Common courtesy. Who you choose? You can't just say either one. You got to make a choice.
Yeah. I would like to see the Revival stay champs, stay on top. I just don't know whether they will. You know, I know that the WWE seem to be saying that, you know, they're going to listen to the fans a bit more lately, and they don't really seem to have done that. So I think the Usos are going to take it. I'm not saying it's the right idea. It's not a bad idea, because the Usos for sure deserve it, but they should keep the Revival on. They should revive the Revival.
I'm going to call you Both Sides of the Fence Slade is your new nickname for today. Okay, so you're going with the Usos. I'm going with the Revival. We'll see. Once again, let us know how we did on our picks on the Twitter at Talk Is Jericho, and we can go on from there. This next one, this is like a real star-studded show with a lot of different gimmick matches, which I think is kind of the theme of the pay-per-view as a whole.
Yeah, you know, as long as they're extreme gimmicks, then yeah.
Exactly.
That's extreme.
It's very extreme. See what we did there? Yeah.
Oh.
So the next gimmick that we have here, a match, a big one, Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley in a last man standing match.
Yeah.
You know what I think of whenever I hear the name Bobby Lashley?
What's that?
Eyelashes. Is that you?
No.
That literally came on. Coming timing. This is under the... This is top five most annoying sounds just popped up at some point. And that's called guy screaming. So, it's like, this is my friend laughing. Top five most annoying sounds.
What the f*** is going on?
That just literally came up when I said it sounds like eyelashes, and then that weird music came on.
What the
f***? There's a ghost in the machine, like I said. So I think I'm going to go with... Wow, I mean, these guys have been having quite the battle, blood battle, blood fest, where they had... one guy hit the other guy through the Titantron last week on Raw, the first Raw that Paul Heyman took over They had this big stunt where they exploded the stage and all this crazy stuff went down. So they've been making quite a big deal of it. So I'm thinking that this match must continue. So I'm going to go, this feud must continue. So I'm going to say, I'm going to go a little bit out on a limb here, Jack. I'm going to say it's going to be a last man standing where both guys can't make the call. Like they'll go through the Tron again and neither guy can get up. So it'll be a draw. The first ever last man standing tie is what's going to happen in this match, for in my opinion.
I can see where you're going with that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, what would be the... I don't know. Yep.
You actually took about 30 seconds to say absolutely nothing there.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, is there really a... It's kind of like the... It's kind of like the revival of Usos. Is there a wrong choice to win here? I don't really know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's one of those things where they got two big guys. They're both kind of in a holding pattern right now. So I'm going with the unprecedented first time ever last man standing match draw.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I am not going to do that. I want to say that Strowman would get it, but I think it's going to be Lashley or Bobby Eyelashes versus Braun Strimmers.
I like Bobby Eyelashes. That's good. Oh, that was really funny though when we had that thing. It's like Bobby Eyelashes sounds like Bobby Lashley reminds me of eyelashes.
What?
Every time I say that word. For some reason, the sound comes on. Bobby, 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 Strowman, Bobby, eyelashes. It's really strange stuff. Okay, so you're going with Bobby. Yeah. Are you taking Bobby eyelashes?
Yeah, I'm going to take Bobby eyelashes on this one, yeah.
Okay. Against Braun Strow your boat gently down the stream. Merry, 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 life is but a dream. You go. Braun Strow your boat gently down the stream. Merry, 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 life is but a dream.
Dream.
Have you ever had that before? The row, row, row your boat where one guy starts at first, then the second guy comes in the second round and it becomes...
Yeah,
What
do you call it? I can't even think of what they called that. It's
kind of like a round robin thing or something, or
yeah. What the hell was the? Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure, we can.
It's
look
not
it
really
up
related to. Maybe we can. Edit.
You haven't really been looking anything up on your end, Jack. You should probably try and look that up, maybe.
Okay.
You look it up, and I'll go into the next match description. This match is for the WWE United States Championship. We got Rakakit, who's the champion, versus AJ Styles. This should be a great match. I think these guys have had a couple matches already. And both guys, obviously, tremendous high-flying performers. AJ is one of the best workers in the company, and Rakakit is... we know his name is Ricochet. So we're not being mean to anybody here. We're not taking the piss. We just like saying Rakakit because it's fun to say, but he's obviously a tremendous performer and worker. That's a editor's note right there. So I'm going to say with Rakakit versus AJ Styles, Rakakit...
It's called a round.
A round?
Yeah.
Oh, a round. Okay. Well, it makes sense because we go around in a circle and everybody sings, right?
Yeah, okay. I must have been thinking of something different because that's not what I thought it was, but yeah.
All right, well, I didn't have no idea what it was either. So I think they've just re-signed Gallows and Anderson. So I'm going to say that those two guys are going to interfere on AJ's behalf and we're going to have a new champion.
Yeah, yeah. That would be the right thing to do.
What about that? How's it the right thing? What if you'd want to really push the young guy, though? I heard Paul Heyman's a big fan of Rakakit. He might want to push him. So once again, we don't know who's going to win this.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good point. But I think the right thing to do would be to have, you know, Ricochet then chase. Rakakit. He's that guy. You know, yeah. Have Rakakit chase the Arj Stiles, and then then they can have a good series of matches. I think, well, how many they had already? Like 25 or something?
No,
yeah. I don't know.
No, they've had a few. They've had a few, but yeah. All of them.
But know, I think good, it would be good.
Good stuff there.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Good remix.
Jeez, I can't catch a break with you, can I?
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful furniture sound. Yeah, so I think Styles get it, and then Ricochet come back and chase, because then at the same time, you got Ricochet that is playing a hip hop drum beat.
No, that was in the background. Chair. Sorry.
Oh, that was your chair.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What if it was Rakocket versus AJ McLean from the Backstreet Boys?
Huh. Yeah. What about it? As in, like, would it be good?
If they had a match together, then what would happen?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want it that way.
Hold on a second here. Hold on. My chair's going to move. Hold on.
Oh.
This is crazy. I got some breaking news here.
What's that?
Well, some breaking news that was announced April 15th, 2018. So basically over a year, almost a year and a half ago, whatever. I was looking for an AJ McLean song.
Yeah.
Do you know he's a country music guy now?
What do you mean? I thought the Backstreet Boys came back.
Backstreet's back. All right. But hold on. I just found this. Backstreet Boys, AJ McLean says, yeah. I'm coming to disrupt country. And we have an interview here. Let's see what he has to say.
I am coming in, but I'm coming in to disrupt country. I want to come in and shake things up. I always love country. I'm almost moved to Nashville. That's how much I love it down there.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So let me ask you this. If we have to be nice to the WWE, do we have to be nice to the Backstreet Boys as well?
Is there any way that we can't be nice?
Okay, dude. I love country music so much, I almost moved to Nashville.
Yeah.
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
I have no idea. No idea what's happening.
And when you watch them say this, he's got like this Guido purple suit on and purple shades and like this Tommy Dreamer haircut. He looks nothing like a country music guy. So I think
he's coming into country
music because that's the hip thing to do. He wants to be like a Darius Rucker, or he wants to be like, who else is a country guy? What's that guy from
Kid Rock?
Stained. Well, Kid Rock's kind of country, but Stained, Aaron Lewis. That guy went into country, yeah. Right? All right, let's see a little sample of what AJ's... I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, you can be honest with me.
I don't really like that. You know what I'd rather hear if I'm going to listen to country?
What's that?
I'd rather hear that music. So for JJ Longhorn, I'm giving the thumbs up. And to AJ McLean's country career... That's what I'm saying about that.
I'm wondering if maybe we should bring J.J. Dillon out on tour with us or something.
J.J. Dillon?
Yeah, the Longhorn.
No. We should bring out J.J. Dillon. We'll bring out J.J. Dillon and J.J. Longhorn and me. It'll be called the Y2JJJJ Tour.
Brilliant.
Y2JJJJ. And then we'll be sponsored by Raycon. It'd be Y2JJJJ Ray J. Was that a spit take there? I almost heard.
It was a bit, yeah. But yeah, that's got a great ring to it.
That could work. All right, next one. Looking forward to this one. Aleister Black versus the Thwith Thyborg Cesaro.
This is gonna be good. Yeah.
Because as we know, the big thing was for a few weeks. Aleister Black was looking for an opponent. He said someone was knocking on his door, and the guy who was knocking on the door was Cesaro.
Mm, yeah.
So whenever I think of Aleister Black,
what's that?
I think of Aleister Crowley.
Really?
classic tune there from Ozzy.
I can, yeah, I can see that as well. That, you know, that can relate to Aleister Black quite well. You know, certainly has the look of,
he does. He's kind of got that look, a little bit of a kind of a satanic type vibe, just like Mr. Crowley had, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Got a funny story for you from Zakk Wylde. One time he said he was recording No More Tears, and for whatever reason, Zakk put up a poster of Jimi Hendrix on one side of the studio and a poster of Aleister Crowley on the other side of the studio. And Ozzy came in and went, "All right, that's Jimmy Page, or that's Jimi Hendrix. Who the fuck is that man?" "That's Aleister Crowley, Oz. You've been singing about him for 35 years.
"Oh, that's amazing.
I didn't know he looked like that man."
Can you disregard this, but I need to quickly leave the room and make sure that the dog doesn't shit on the carpet. Can you? Would you mind? Yeah, shit. Sure. I'm going to run.
Okay.
All right. I'll be right back.
Jack having to go take care of some business, unless he's trying to rib me, of course, which is something that I always do to him on this program, where I leave to go get some ice or whatever it may be and just leave him there talking until he gets back into the room. But I'm not going to fall for that trick. I'm actually going to move on with Aleister Crowley versus Cesaro. And I really think that this is going to be an unbelievable match. How could it not be when you have the Thwith Thyborg in there? Just a tremendous performer. And I really, it was a little bit of a back-asswards thing to do to say, who's going to come challenge me? Well, my dad used to say, if someone challenges you and you get beat up, don't worry about it. If you challenge someone and don't beat them up, then you're the jerk. So now Cesaro has the potential to be a jerk if he loses to Aleister and doesn't man up. So I might say that, in this day and age, heels, babyface, we don't know really who's who and what's what, but there's no way that Aleister Black on his first big kind of focused on spotlight match will lose this. So at the potential of making the Thwith Thyborg Cesaro look bad from making the challenge and losing, I'm going to stick with Aleister. That's Aleister. And see kind of what happens. But I'm going with Aleister Crowley on this one to win this match. Jack is still not back yet, so I guess we'll have to continue forward on our own. When we come, but when he comes over back here, that dog must be taking quite a long poopski. We'll continue on with his predictions. So we'll move on now. Daniel Bryan and Rowan, who are the champions. This is for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships versus The New Day versus Heavy Machinery, Otis and Tucker. And this is Otis and Tucker's big headlining, potentially star-making match. Okay, so we're just about ready to give the review here of the Daniel Bryan match. And Jack is back. Are you okay?
Yeah, as I was trying to let the dog out, didn't want him to piss on the carpet, then I came back in the room and found out that my internet had died as well.
Are you sure the dog didn't piss on the internet cable and really screw everything up?
Yeah, maybe. That's the thing.
Yes, I held down the fort as long as I could on the last one, but I had to move forward. And what I decided on was that you can't put Aleister, you can't have him lose on his very first kind of spotlight match where he was making this big deal of the challenge. So even though I love the Thwith Thyborg Cesaro, I'm going with Aleister Crowley to win this contest. Jack?
I agree with you. It's going to be a match full of European uppercuts, you know, both of them being European. But yeah, Aleister Black is my pick for that one as well.
Just had to do that one more time, really drag it into the dirt. Okay, so then I moved on to the triple threat. Sorry, I'm still in the Cesaro mode. A triple threat tag team match for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship. Daniel Bryan and Rowan versus The New Day. That's Big E and Woods, obviously. Versus Heavy Machinery, Otis and Tucker.
Yeah, Heavy Machinery, kind of the dark horses here. I've forgotten their names. Oh, this written right there. Otis and Tucker, yeah. Yeah, people seem to be getting behind them, especially Otis doing the... what are they, he's not calling it the worm, is he? He's calling it something else.
Yeah, it's called like the sloth or something.
something like that, yeah.
I'm not sure exactly. Something like that. You know, it's funny, Otis and Tucker sounds like Turner and Hooch to me. It reminds, like, it's like some kind of a Turner. You ever see the movie Turner and Hooch, Jack?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Tom Hanks has a dog. I think Tom Hanks is like a detective, and Turner is his dog. You can't see that. Turner and Hooch that was the trailer for it. Wait, it just said Turner Hooch. It didn't actually.
You're trying to show me a trailer over the sound of the speakers.
Yeah, I was hoping it would be like Turner has a lot of problems until he met Hooch. Turner and Hooch live, you know, whatever. So Turner and Hooch is a movie where Tom Hanks plays a guy, and I think Hooch is the dog, and they have wacky adventures, etc., etc. Okay, so that's what I'm thinking whenever I see Otis and Tucker. I think Turner and Hooch. So once again, you got the champions of Daniel Bryan and Roman. Can I ask you a question here? I know I'm supposed to be nice to the WWE, but Daniel Bryan has really gone down the card in a big way. When you think about how hot he was when he came back, how big of a star he was when he came back. Now he's kind of buried in this tag team mire, shall we say.
Yeah. It's very strange. It's a really weird sort of, really weird. I don't know why. I mean, you know, having him win the tag championships isn't necessarily a bad move. I just don't really see what they're doing with it.
Yeah. Once again, you know, this kind of a new world here and a new thing going on. I would put it on Turner and Hooch and, you know, kick them off. They need to make some new stars, and just having these guys there doing, you know, kind of nonsensical worms and this sort of thing, or sloths or whatever they're calling it. Go all the way, put the straps on Turner and Hooch, and let's start a new era here.
Yeah. I think that's good as well. And, you know, the fact that the crowd is actually behind them, or behind Otis, at least.
Yes.
I don't think any result is... Wait, hang on. How do I phrase this? I don't think any of the results would be bad.
All right, as we move on here, the halfway point of the show, WWE Cruiserweight Championship, and much like last month, Tony Nese is still the champion. Oh, wait, sorry, he's not still the champion. Drew Gulak is the champion, but Tony Nese is challenging it for it. I think he was actually the champion last month, and he lost it to Drew Gulak. That made no sense whatsoever, but follow along with the bouncing ball, ladies and gentlemen.
It's all good. It's all good. Yep, I understood. I'm following. Go for it.
Thank you. We like Drew Gulak. We said that before with the gimmick that he had before. You know what I think of whenever I think of the name Gulak, Jack?
Tell me.
I think of Gulag. Like, I think it's like a Russian prison, I believe, is what a Gulag is. That's always... makes me think of that. I was wondering, maybe it might be cool if he adapted the gimmick of Drew the Gulag Gulak.
Yeah, as long as they don't make it sort of overly racist.
Okay, because a gulag, as defined by the dictionary here online, is a system of labor camps maintained in the Soviet Union from 1930 to 1955 in which many people died. Well, that's a little bit. We might not be able to do that sort of a gimmick here in 2019.
Yeah, it might not. It's just the wrong costume, really.
Right. You can't really put that on a foam finger and sell it at the merch stand, you know.
Not really. No, I used to have a foam finger.
Did you?
It was. Not on my person. It was a Razor Ramon foam finger.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know I used to have a Chris Jericho foam. Body,
a foam body.
Yeah, it's not a joke. It was actually, I'm looking at it right now. I'm in my office here. It says "Break the Walls Down," and it's kind of the Chris Jericho Sonic Temple, if you know that, by the Cult, silhouette with my arms sticking out. So people would basically put their hands up my ass and wave me around. Not literally, of course, which would be very painful, but figuratively on these foam Jericho bodies.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So, on that note, are we picking Drew Gulak or Tony Nietzsche?
I'm going for Gulak because he did me proud last time because I predicted him being in it.
Right.
And look what happened. So, you know, Gulak, don't fail me now.
Yeah, I'm going to say that as well because I think Tony Nietzsche, the thing about the 205 Live is there's so many guys there that I think Tony, I'm actually surprised in a good way. I like Tony. We always talk about how much we like Tony, don't we, Jack?
Yeah.
I'm happy that he's in another featured match, tremendous performer. But I think they're going to stick with Drew Gulak and continue on in that direction as they should.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't there something with Evolve as well happening that is Gulak involved with? So it's another kind of thing that sticks out that they're still going to go with.
Keep them going on that. Okay, so moving on, there's a 2-1 handicap match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. It's Alexa Bliss and Nikki Six versus Bayley. Now,
brilliant.
What I'm thinking about this is that I don't like when they do this, a 2-on-1 handicap match. You know, that really demeans the belts and demeans the titles. So I think it's pretty obvious that Bayley has a mystery partner that's going to come out and help her beat Alexa Bliss and Nikki Six for just to beat them because she is the champion. So do you want to know who I am convinced? It's so obvious who Bayley's mystery partner is going to be.
Who do you think it's going to be? Is it going to be obvious?
Yeah,
probably is.
Dark Journey.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
probably would be.
You didn't see that.
It's the only. It's the only logical choice if you think about it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. So I think, and if it's not Dark Journey, Sasha Banks.
That's not quite as believable though, is it?
It's not. It's not quite as timely or as obvious, or as it doesn't make as much sense.
That's right. Yeah.
If Dark Journey is not available, because she wasn't available last time either, she didn't make it to the mystery, whatever. Was there a mystery partner last time? Why was Dark Journey involved? What the hell was she doing there? I don't recall what it was.
Dark Journey?
Yeah. Why was she going to be there?
I can't remember.
Does it really matter? Let's just say this. Let's just go with the fact, because we know Dark Journey's high-priced, very hard to reach, living in the wilds of South Carolina, wherever that might be. I think it's going to be, let's say it's just Sasha. Here's my prediction. Sasha comes back, huge reaction, huge pop. Bayley and Sasha work as a well-oiled machine. They beat Alexa Bliss and Nikki Six, and then Sasha turns on Bayley. Huh? Come on.
Huh? Yeah. Dog hair in my mouth or something. It makes sense. I don't know whether it would be, would they go down the too obvious route? I don't know. I would think that would be entertaining.
I think if they go to the obvious route of bringing her back as the partner, but then have her turn on Bayley to lead to the big SummerSlam face-off, because, you know, forget, we're getting next pay-per-view. Is going to be the SummerSlam show, so I think that might be what they're.
That's right.
I think that might be what. Yeah.
They need something.
And then Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross maybe get a little fight. Then Vince Neil comes out of the crowd, leading to Nikki Six and Vince Neil at SummerSlam, which is something I would pay to see.
Yes, definitely. Have you seen the recent videos going around of Vince Neil trying to sing "Kickstart My Heart"?
Yeah. Do I wanna? I haven't seen them.
It's pretty cool.
All right.
You know, let me see. I can't spell Vince Neil. Kickstart My Heart video. Here we go. This has got to be it. Let's have a look. He looks fantastic in that thumbnail.
Yeah. Let's put in some size.
Oh. That's
just play the background music where you're getting ready here.
Yep. That's not it. Hold on. Let's have a look here. Thanks, Neil. Videos coming around 2019. Maybe it's recent like that. Yeah, no, can't find it. Just, oh, that's the one.
This is actually pretty good. Can you hear this? If I have the mic here, can you hear this?
Sounds great.
Okay, here's what the lyrics say on the screen. When I get high, almost peed, trash filled, fruity called, tub of bay, my honk. Said Big Mac 103. Ooh, Freddy's gas.
So good.
Ham hit a dog. Ham hit a dog. Wow. It's a great stuff. So yeah, so Vince is ready, primed and in shape to take on Nikki Sixx.
Oh yeah.
At Summerfest. Okay. So yeah. We're booking up a storm here, Jack, and we're on Absolutely. Fire. All right. Here we go. This is a big one. WWE Championship. Kofi Kingston, who's the champion, versus Samoa Joe. I've been harping on this for months, years even, decades, if you will. I've been harping on this since before Samoa Joe was even born, that he was destined to be a WWE champion. And it's got to be now. They got to pull the trigger on Samoa Joe have him win. Against Kofi Kingston. I like Kofi. I don't like throwing pancakes in the crowd and that sort of thing, but I love Samoa. And I want to see him rip Kofi Kingston apart. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. And it's Kofi is so good at also, you know, at selling and making people look good. So not only will it be a good match, it's going to make Joe look like God.
That was the end of the statement?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought you said like God's gift to, you know, wrestling or something.
That sounds better.
Okay. Take two then. Say that then.
Yeah. So, you know, Kofi's very good. He's going to make Samoa Joe look like God's gift to wrestling.
Are you on Quaaludes again, Jack? This is great. No. I think who's gonna win? What's your opinion?
I think it has to be Samoa Joe. Has to be Samoa Joe. It has to be. Yeah. It has to be.
Yeah. I agree with you, but let me throw a little monkey wrench at you there. What, you heard like Paul Heyman on Raw this week. Which he's been saying for about a year, that Brock Lesnar is going to cash in the title, cash in the money in the bank. I think there's one of two ways to go here, and I'm going to tell them to you, in my opinion.
Okay.
First of all, Samoa beats Kofi, music hits, down comes Brock, cashes in, beats Samoa, leading to SummerSlam, Samoa versus Brock.
Yeah, that would be that would be great. It would be annoying, but as long as the payoff is that Joe then beats Brock,
yes,
then we're fine. And it would be that would be great.
Because if you're looking at the pantheon of guys that haven't really worked with Brock too much, who's the most believable to me that could not only, you know, stand up to Brock but actually really beat him would be Samoa.
Yeah. I mean, but if we're thinking about any company, then it's either really going to be Samoa or it's going to be Cheeseburger or someone like myself. But seeing as neither of us are actually signed to the WWE right now, it's going to be Joe.
Fish and chips versus Brock Lesnar at Summerfest.
That's right.
Okay. So, I mean, that's exciting to me. Like, I'm excited. Let me say this. I'm much more excited about Extreme Rules than I was about Stomping Grounds.
Well, that, yeah, And that's the thing, actually, as well. Like, even though there wasn't much sort of behind Stomping Grounds to begin with, it actually...
Go ahead.
So Stomping, it was actually quite a surprising show as far as having good matches.
Yeah, well, it was. And listen, the crowd ended up being pretty good. You know, I knew it would. They would say, oh, the crowd's going to... I mean, listen, you get 5,000 people or 6,000 people at a WWE show, they're going to film it and make it look like there's 20,000. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to say that this is in Philly, this show. So I think it's going to be a great crowd there in Philadelphia as far as being loud and super into the show and all that sort of thing. So
do you think they're going to use that timeless line that Lawler used to say? It's bizarro world if they cheer the wrong people and shit.
Well, they only say that for Toronto, though.
Oh, that's right.
They don't say that for Philly.
That's true.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about the time when I was in Philly and it was my kind of coronation the night before? I beat Triple H for the world title and then had to give it back. And then the next night I beat The Rock in a lumberjack match in Philadelphia. And it was kind of like the first night that I was ever kind of a main event guy. And at that point in time, they would have the main event guys would grab the mic and do a little kind of serenade to people as they were leaving or right before they left. Stone Cold did it. Rock did it. So that night it was my turn. I grabbed the mic and I was like, you know, I started in Philly and ECW Arena and I love Philly and they're just cheering. I was like, you guys are the greatest crowd in the world. And I stopped and I was like, oh my gosh, did I just say that? Did I just literally say you're the greatest crowd in the world? And I looked over at Lawler and Lawler's nodding at me like, yep, you just said it. This in front of like 15,000 people. No one cared. They were still cheering and going nuts. Yeah. I walked to the back and Vince is standing there to shake my hand. And like a dummy, I go, I'm so sorry. He goes, what are you sorry for? That was a great match. What are you talking about? I said, did you hear what I said? And he's like, oh, what'd you say? And I was like, I said they're a great crowd. He's like, oh, come on, Jericho. And then walked away kind of so mad at me. And I was like, why did I say anything? He never would have known. So
yeah, shit. Yeah. He probably would have said, that's good shit or something. I don't know.
Call back. All right, here we go. No holds barred match. This is going to be a big one. Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre versus The Undertaker and Roman Reigns.
Yeah, it's very very strange that's happened. Hang on, wait. Is that even on my list? Can I see that? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, I just told it to you, so there it is.
Well, yeah, true. Right. It's very true. Yeah, no, it's a strange one.
Sorry.
Is that your chair again?
It was. So it was a strange one. Yeah. Can we put that on your next Pro Wrestling Tees t-shirt, please, Jack?
Way ahead of you. Way ahead of you. It's already coming.
So there, here's what listen, this is a huge match. You know, having The Undertaker out there, never a bad thing, obviously, whether he moves great or whether he doesn't move great, he's still The Undertaker. Huge draw, one of the biggest names in the history of the company. So yes. I think, you know, it'll be kind of a showcase for Undertaker, get a little bit of his heat back after the match he had with Goldberg that didn't go quite as what they wanted to. But there's also another thing, though, that's going on here.
What's that?
I think this match, because it's no holds barred, I think you're going to see a lot of guys involved. We've been seeing Drew McIntyre and Elias hanging out quite a bit. So I think there's going to be some Elias interference. And I think that's going to bring out the kind of the new babyface. I don't know if you saw what happened on SmackDown last night, Jack, but Kevin Owens came down and was kind of shooting, pipe bombing, and came out of the down to the ring after he was kicked out of the building and Stone Cold stunnered Shane McMahon and then ran through the crowd again. Very Stone Cold thing to do.
Yeah, definitely. It's it was interesting. Well, I say it was interesting. It was interesting, but it was almost like there were sort of comparisons to that and CM Punk when he did that whole pipe bomb thing.
It's like a combination of CM Punk and Steve Austin.
Yeah, which is not a bad thing. Yeah. At least in my view. Owens is fantastic. So yeah, he needs to be seen in every match.
CM Cold, Stone Punk, Steve Owens, Stone Punk. Stone Punk is cool.
Stone Punk, yeah. So yeah, all right. Yeah.
We should form a side project called Stone Punk.
Okay.
You know what kind of music you're gonna play?
What, punk?
Stoner punk, like a combination of Caius and the Sex Pistols.
That doesn't sound bad.
Doesn't sound pretty. It doesn't sound good either. Yeah,
well, I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe we can make it sound good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you playing at home, rewind back to the beginning. Every time Jack goes, yeah, take a drink, and you'll be load ski by about minute five.
Yeah.
Okay. So Undertaker reigns. Shane and McIntyre. Elias interferes incessantly. Finally, at the end, Owens runs down and Stone Cold stuns Stone Punk's Shane McMahon, and Undertaker gives him the big tombstone. And then Reigns gives him the big spear for the win. Shane McMahon's team loses, which leads to a big feud of McMahon versus Owens rematch at Summerfest.
Yeah, so do you think, right, do you think that they're putting Shane at the forefront of everything, especially with the best of the world thing, because they know it would annoy, you know, annoy the fan base and say, how is Shane the best in the world? Or is that going to be too obvious and they just think that Shane is that good?
They don't think Shane's the best in the world. They're doing it as heat. You know,
yeah, right.
I think now Shane's kind of the ipso facto new age Vince McMahon, and they're probably trying to make Kevin Owens the new Stone Cold by having him, you know, okay, give him Stone Cold's finish, have him beat up the second generation McMahon head of the company, cut off his microphone, kick him out of the building, have him come back. He'll probably drive like, you know, what are French Canadians known for? Bagels? Baguettes?
Poutine?
He's going to drive a giant baguette to the ring and start beating up people.
Hmm. Actually, yeah. Can you imagine that? Like, you know, especially wearing the striped top, just throw baguettes at people. It'd be great.
Baguettes?
Yeah.
Oui.
Ha. Huh. Yes.
Nice. All right. Then the big main event, second month in a row, Baron Corbin is in there. But here's the difference. Lacey Evans versus Becky Lynch, champion, Seth Rollins, champion. It's an Extreme Rules match for both the WWE Universal Championship and the WWE Raw Women's Championship, winner take all. Which means if Baron Corbin pins Seth, he wins the title and Lacey wins the title. If Becky Lynch pins Lacey Evans, they get nothing happens. But if Lacey Evans pins Becky Lynch, she gets the title and Corbin gets the title. It's a hell of a deal for Corbin and Lacey, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it is. I was kind of high on, maybe high is the wrong word, but like, you know, I thought that.
Or the right word.
Maybe it is the right word. Yeah. I mean, I'm not high at the minute. But yeah, I was behind Lacey before Stomping Ground. And then just because I thought that she, you know, played the character very well, and then just the actual didn't really go, you know, as well as I thought, and I kind of lowered my opinion a little bit on Lacey, which is a shame.
I'm sure she feels very bad that she disappointed you, Jack. But here's my thing. You know that J Lo? No, it was Ben Affleck and J Lo, or was it B Lo or something? Or Bennifer is what it was. So I think for Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans, should we call them Lorbin, Basie, Lauren? No, Lauren or Basie? Boren?
Basie. Yeah, Basie works. I like Basie.
Let's go with Basie. And Becky and Seth, Secky?
Secky or Beth, yeah. Isn't it, really?
That's too obvious, isn't it?
Beth is too obvious.
Secky and Basie.
Secky McGee versus Basie, yeah.
Secky and Basie sounds like a couple of ferrets that a junior high school kid would have.
And then they book their own matches of ferrets.
Here's what I'm going to say right now.
All right.
And this, because this has got to end, this Baron Corbin, Seth Rollins, and Lacey Lynch and all this other stuff. I think that Secky is going to get the pin dobleta. You know what that means?
Double
pin if you're Spanish.
Ooh, very good.
I think Seth's going to beat Baron. I think Becky's going to beat Lacey. Done. Winners. Secky, super excited. Then this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Music hits. Out comes Brock. This is if he, this is if not if he does not come out with Samoa, Brock comes out. Can you imagine if Seth and Becky, whenever he's happy, Brock comes out, he gives Becky Lynch an F5, then he gives Seth Rollins an F5 and wins the title.
Holy shit, Brock wins the women's championship.
No. He would win the men's championship is what he would do. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because now with the new kind of regime, with the new Paul Heyman and intergender matches and all that stuff, I bet you they're going to open the door a little bit to the guys getting to the girls. Can you imagine the heat if Brock hits Becky and then how angry Seth would be and then he hits Seth as well and wins the title, leading to Seth and Brock at SummerSlam.
It writes itself, doesn't it, really?
It does. Although I'd rather see Samoa versus Brock, but I think the Becky Lynch element makes it kind of exciting as well.
So here's the thing. What do you think is more likely to happen? Do you think it would be that Brock series or do you think it would be Brock and Joe? What do you think is more likely, you know, with your expertise here?
More heat. If they're opening up the door to more controversial stuff, I'm saying Brock's going to hit Becky. If Brock's not allowed to touch Becky, then you got to go with Brock and Samoa, because I would pay to see that just to watch the two of them kick the shit out of each other. I think the heat by hitting Becky would be amazing. It might take away a little bit of her man persona, but hey, you got to pay Peter to feed Paul sometimes. Is that how it goes?
Probably. Yeah. Do you think it would take anything away from Becky though?
Because maybe
Lesnar, you know,
we can slap some in the face or something, and you know what I mean. Yeah. Like you could show some real balls on her, not literally but figuratively, by doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, the more balls, the better.
Well, that's what he said.
Yep.
So there you go. I think that's a great rundown. It sounds like a real exciting show. Prediction for the best match, Jack?
There are a couple of potentials. For me, my favorite is probably going to be Rikaki and AJ
McLean. Yep.
With a close runner up being Kofi and Joe.
Gotcha. Okay, just to be a contrarian, I'll go with Alistair. And Cesaro with Cyborg is the best, with Samoa and Kofi number two. Although Rikaki and AJ, those are the two, three that will be the best. But I will take Cesaro and Alistair as the best one rather than Rikaki. But it could be any one of those three, in my opinion.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Yeah, Alistair and Cesaro is definitely way up there. Yeah,
exactly. Which guy did you say?
Cesaro, the Thwith Thyborg, and Alistair.
Okay, cool. So as we wind down here, Jack, we have a new tradition now where we give you the opportunity, and by you, I don't mean you, Jack, singularly. I mean you, the listener, the opportunity to choose the theme song for Extreme Rules.
Wonderful. Yes, the favorite part of the show.
Yes, me too. Here's choice number one, which is Dirty Honey with When I'm Gone. Okay, that's number one. Then you got, oh, geez Louise. Missed that one there. You got
what was that?
This one here.
Oh.
Extreme. And then the one you just heard. That was a random one. It just kind of snuck into the DMs there. You Two, With or Without You, is another choice. And then you JJ Longhorn Steakhouse, because we don't care. It's our show. We can have you in there if you want. The other one is this one. That's a good deal. Big Mac for 103.
Yeah, definitely. That's
and
great.
And then that's Vince Neil, Kickstart My Heart. And then the last choice is
Yep.
Toto, hold the line. So you guys decide which one you'd like to hear. Fight amongst yourselves and
get back to us. Yeah, there are no bad answers. Yeah.
And get back to us with answers of what you'd like to hear. So, Jack, any final words on this amazing day?
I would say that this evening went a little bit smoother as last time. It might have been the easiest one to talk about so far, but doesn't mean to say that the content was any better. So, you know.
Any worse. The good thing is I'm really excited. I'm just moving back and forth in my chair, very happy and squealish.
It's great. That's a very rhythmic, rhythmic seat.
Rhythmic seat.
Yeah.
That should be the name of Isley Brothers song or something along those lines.
Yeah.
All right, Jack. Always a pleasure, never a chore. And we'll see you next month for the preview.
The last time that we did a SummerSlam one, we had a lot of beverages, and we got that guy,
Pete,
whoever he was.
The guy from Pete yeah. Dunn. I think we thought it was one guy named Pete, but it was another guy named Pete. We'll have
another guy from Monster Magnet as well.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. So we'll leave you with some more annoying sounds.
What is this?
It's more of the top five most annoying sounds.
Oh.
What's the most annoying sound you can make, Jack?